Thank you. So this talk is based on one of my paper last year and another paper with Kazuya Yonikura, who is a postdoc at IIS, and based on some work in progress. So to begin with, let me list some of the interesting ankle swell dynamic questions that I would like to understand using amphibian. So the first purpose I want to achieve is to construct a new series. So in particular, I would like to construct a more superconformal field theory, such as like UU theory, which can be flowed from a UV asymptotic free gauge theory, or some more exotic ankle swan Arduous Douglas type theories. And the second purpose is to understand the cyborg duality using the fibrin construction following the famous work by David Gaoto of the ankle swan S duality. And then the third motivation is to study modular space of vector. And in particular, I would like to determine the IR physics. So for ankle swan, the phase structure is much richer than ankle swan case. And well, for the if the purpose is to understand the non-supersymmetric theory, then ankle swan has many new phases than ankle two, which is more close to a non-supersymmetric theory. So here are some of the important phases. So the first one is non-abelian Coulomb phase, or more generally, a superconformal field theory. So when I find such a phase, I would like to calculate the central charge and its superconformal index, and the relevant and its relevant deformation and the exact marginal deformation. So I would also like to understand the cyborg duality if there's a gauge theory, UV gauge theory description. And I would like to learn as many as possible by using amphibian. So. And then there is also a non-abelian Coulomb phase, which is very common for four-dimensional ankle two theory, but for ankle one theory, this phase is also very common. When I have such a phase, I would like to find the predicate the cyborg curve, who first found the curve for ankle one theory. So this might not be very familiar to many people, but this, also you can find the a curve for abelian Coulomb phase and determine the exact photon coupling, which depend on the modular fields and the couplings or UV parameters. Now, well, these two phases are common for four-dimensional ankle two and ankle one theory. Now there's some new phases. So for ankle one theory, we also have confining phase. And if I find such a phase, I would like to find the superpotential. Counting the Susi vector or Witten index. So Also, we have a Higgs phase, which is more familiar. And there's another new phase, which we could have a SUSY breaking phase. And there were a lot more phases, such as cryosymmetry breaking with the confinement or a confined phase with some massless photons, so all kinds of mixing between them. So that's the questions I would like to pursue using M5-brain. So it turns out all these questions could be elegantly solved by using M5-brain and a generalized Hitchin equation. So in the following, I'm going to explain how I can use M5-brain and associate the BPS equation, associate the gaze equation to answer these questions. Any question?
When you're talking about this Coulomb phase, you're always applying this superconformal point, or you, because generically you can be not in superconformal point say as well, right?
Yeah. I can turn on some valve and go to some other phase.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's what I mean, yeah. Like sub-latency theory, yeah. Okay, so let me first begin with the construction. How are we gonna construct a four-dimensional Encore Swan theory using a six-dimensional two gamma zero theory, which is a low energy effector theory of the M5-brain. So these elements are pretty familiar to people working in the 90s. So here, let me just introduce some of the new features. So okay, the first step is you start with a six-dimensional two gamma zero theory of ADE type. So here, in this talk, I'm gonna only focus on A type, but the other type should be also quite similar. And then the second step, we just compactify this six-dimensional theory on a Riemann surface. And to twisted the complexification to preserve unbroken supersymmetry because the Riemann surface can be curved. Now, okay, one of the crucial points is that this is not enough. It's not enough to just specify a Riemann surface. You also need to specify the possible deformations, much like what Philip talked about last week about the Encore 2 theory. You have to specify what the possible deformations. So to specify that data, we can get some clue from the MCU embedding. So to get a four-dimensional Encore Swan theory on M5-brain, we can put our MCU on such background, R4 times a Calabi-Yau threefold times a circle. And then the Riemann surface is embedded holomorphically inside this Calabi-Yau threefold to preserve Encore Swan supersymmetry. So what's the crucial point for us is that because of this Calabi-Yau three condition, the normal bundle of the Riemann surface inside the Calabi-Yau threefold satisfies this condition. its determined bundle equal to the canonical bundle of the Riemann surface. So therefore, the to specify the theory, besides the Riemann surface, such as the genus, it's a complex structure, we have to specify a rank 2 holomorphic.
And what is the dimension of sigma?
Sigma is 2. This is a Riemann surface. So you compare 60 CV on a Riemann surface, you get a 4-dimensional theory. So you have to specify a rank 2 holomorphic bundle. Holomorphic vector bundle. And that this space is infinite. So immediately, by considering n equals 1 supersymmetry, the theory space is much, much larger than n equals 2. So that's a space of the rank 2 holomorphic bundle. And for n equals 2 supersymmetry, the rank 2 bundle takes the following form. It's a canonical bundle plus a trivial bundle. So that's quite natural, as it should be, by reducing the number of supersymmetry, the theory space should be much larger, which can be seen from this geometric construction. Any question? So in n equals 2 compactification, people usually do not see this choice of line bundle because there's only one unique choice. But here, you have to specify actual data to define your theory. So in this talk, I'm going to focus on the following choice of the normal bundle. Oh, by the way, this is just a clue. This is just a clue to tell us what kind of actual structure we should put on our Riemann surface. Once we know this constraint, we can forget about the embedding. So to understand the field theory question, we don't need the full M3 dynamics. We actually only care about the local geometry. So this condition actually gave us a local Carville threefold. So that's all we need. So we can forget about the M3 and just use the 6-dimensional 2,0 theory. And in this talk, I'm going to focus on this special case where the rank 2 bundle is split. This is not by simplicity, just by simplicity. This choice is crucial because if there's no punctures, you only have a closed Riemann surface. Only this split case leads to conformal theory. For other theory, it will flow in the infinite. All right, that's actual data. And then we need to find a BPS equation to constrain the possible deformations. So the BPS equation, which is proposed in one of my last year's paper, is the following generalized Hitchin equation. So there's a gauge field defined on the Riemann surface and two Higgs field, which is the section of these two line bundles.
This is
just for simplicity? No, not for simplicity. This choice is special. This leads to conformal theory if there's no puncture.
So, how do you see it? Is it
obvious? It's not obvious, probably I don't have time to explain it. But this is special.
It leads to a beta function?
Actually, I can define a function on this space. Its critical point is actually the critical points which leads to this split bundles.
Another simple way would, I mean, not so simple, but another way would be to look at the compactification and see what gravity solution it leads to. And only this type of charge would lead to ADS5, sorry.
Yeah, good. Yeah, thank you. Yeah, this subspace is finite dimensional, but the space of rank 2 homeomorphic is infinite dimensional.
Can you show that other choices doesn't lead to conformal?
Yeah, other choice. For example, so let's say that this is a subspace of split rank 2 bundles, and if you start the at somewhere, and then it will flow to one of the fixed point.
But in this way, can you say that if you are not choosing bundles this way, then beta function is non-zero?
Yeah, exactly. If you have a few CV description, mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah. Well, let me finish this equation. So these two equations are familiar. That just means these two sections are holomorphic. And there's a further crucial equation that the two matrices have to be commuting. So that's the BPS equation controlling the deformation in the normal direction. So this equation can be derived in various ways. One is just that you further compactify your six-dimensional the system on a circle to get a three-dimensional theory, and then you inverse the compactification. You first on S1 and then on Riemann surface. Then you can use the Lagrangian description of five-dimensional maximum EMS, and then you get this equation. But a more insightful way to get it is that there's a Hermitian Jamiel's equation on this Calabrian threefold, local Calabrian threefold, and you can dimensional reduce that Hermitian Jamiel's equation on this Riemann surface, and then you get this equation.
But this five dimensions would be this five would be part of this field strength, or what it would be, how it looks in five dimensional notation.
So in five dimensional super Jamiel's theory, you have a gauge field, and you have a five scalar,
yeah.
And then after twisting, four scalar becomes two complex scalar, and then it's a neutral scalar on the Riemann surface.
What does a double prime mean?
This means the connection of the. So you split your connection into the holomorphic and the anti-holomorphic part. This is just the anti-holomorphic part. Or this is just like debar operator of the holomorphic bundle.
So does it mean that phi is just kind of chiral field, right?
Yeah, exactly. So it's that holomorphic, four-dimensional field, say holomorphic condition is encoded into this condition. Mm-hmm. Phi has to be holomorphic. And also, everything has to be holomorphic. That leads to the simplification of the dynamics. Okay, that's the more ingredients which we can add. And that's the how the things are very rich and interesting. We can add defects. But these defects are just the intersection of other amphibians. So in the description of this two scalars, that means the scalar has to be singular near the puncture. So this is called the regular puncture if the pole is first order. And this often leads to conformal field theory. But if the pole has higher order, and this is called the irregular singularity. This often leads to Archer-Stockhausen theory, Enkel-Swan Archer-Stockhausen theory, plus asymptotic phase theory. So for the regular singularity, we have to, the coefficient has to satisfy this commuting condition. So that is the following classification of the regular singularity. So actually it has a commuting nilpotent pair.
This kind of defect implies that you have like external source of the field, or the positioning of singularity is fixed, right?
Yeah.
So it's like external source, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Excuse me, what do you mean by N equals 1
Archer Stockhausen? Well, just you have a massless monopole, massless ions, a massless electron, mutually non-local. That's general theorem discussed in one of Philip's paper. So you can also find the non-supersymmetric Archer Stockhausen.
Non-local.
Huh?
What do you mean non-local?
So you cannot choose the duality frame such that the electron and the monopole had the charge on the single
the
U.
Theory is perfectly local.
What?
The theory is local.
Yeah, the theory is local, but the spectrum is non-local. You cannot find it.
What do you mean the spectrum is
always non-local.
Well,
it's just I don't think it implies anything about the locality of the
figure. Yeah, it's not. It's just the charge. Right.
So, in N equals to 2 case, the defects could be understood as a native codimension 2 defects to 0.
Yeah. This is a 1 port BPS defects of 2 comma 0. Okay, but in this talk, I'm going to just to focus on a very special case where there's only one scalar field becoming singular at the singularity. So this locally is still N equals 2 puncture, but now we have a choice. So we have two choice. So either just one of the scalar fields is singular.
But I'm not sure why you call it a different series, because if it's like external source, you can say that it's a probe or a series. You introduce external source, you have singularity, right?
Yeah.
But when we introduce electric charge, we are not saying that it's a different series, right? We are still saying that it's electrodynamics.
I'll give an example. This might be very abstract. I'll give you a brain construct, and then you see what does this mean.
This is different here in four dimensions. That's what you
So it's, the source is not okay, but still in a series on this on sigma, right? It is a source.
Yeah.
No, but you look at the four dimensional term. This source will change your four dimensional series.
I see.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, you don't look at the six-dimensional term. Yeah, that's the whole point. Maybe. Okay. I hope you get some feeling. Now the story is much, much richer than N equals 2. So what I have done, I think, is just the tip of the iceberg. But there are a lot more new theories which probably need to be understood. So okay, let me give you a simple example to illustrate this type of construction. So the example I'm going to present has a brain construction, type 2A brain construction, which is much easier to understand than our more exotic construction. So we have a bunch of NS5 brain, D6 brain, and then put some D4 brain here. Let's see. So it's very long that this system give you a four-dimensional n cross 2 system. So we can lift this system into a fiber construction. So roughly speaking, you replace each intersected non-compact branch by defects. So these two S5 branch leads to special punctures, and 2D6 branch leads to two so-called full punctures. And because of n equals 2 supersymmetry, the bundle structure is just a canonical bundle plus a trivial bundle. So that's the picture discovered by Galto. Now, for n equals 1, I guess people in the United States should be very familiar. I just rotate one of the S5 band to S5 prime band, which is oriented in another direction. We also rotate the D6 prime band. Now, in our picture, so this kind of rotation means that we rotate these two punctures to orient it in another direction, or it means that we now have the puncture for another kind. So for these two punctures, phi 1 is singular. For these two punctures, phi 2 is singular. Locally, they're still n equals 2 puncture, but they have two different kinds. Now, what's more, the bundle structure is changed from the canonical bundle and trivial bundle to O minus 1 plus O minus 1 bundle. And we note that the CV is just n equals 1 SQCD with a 2n flavor. Suppose we put n d4 brain here and d4 brain here, then this is the quiver we got. But the crucial point is that there is a superpotential, which describing the interaction between these two sets of quarks. And this superpotential is exactly marginal. So this is nice to match the geometric picture. We know that the complex structure of the surface has to give us a exact marginal deformation of four-dimensional theory. And indeed, there's such a coupling, which is consistent with the choice of flavor symmetry, the choice of manifest flavor symmetry.
So mu1,
mu2 is the momentum map of these two sets of quark.
So bilinear.
Yeah, bilinear. So this is a quartic potential, which is exactly marginal for this number for flavors. Yeah, holomorphic in terms of Q tilde. Yeah. All right, now, any question for?
So, I mean, in n plus 1, you could take a different number of d6 primes, for example, right?
Yeah,
and
yeah.
Still flow to superconformed theory.
Yes, but.
But away from the midpoint of this conformed window.
Yeah, but exactly because of this potential. You always have this potential. So it will drive you into some other point.
C is arbitrary?
C is a coefficient.
Right, but it's not fixed.
It's not fixed. It's actually given by the complex structure of this Riemann surface. So,
sure.
Geometrically.
So you cannot get, sorry, you were going to say something.
So
you cannot get the cyber n equals 1 SQCD is away from the conformed window, at the midpoint of the conformed window?
Right now, I haven't, haven't succeeded.
Sorry? This is the midpoint of the conformed window.
Yeah. Yeah. But I guess he meant other cases.
Away from.
Yeah.
Oh, there is also a duality in the text on C that sends C to 1 over C.
Yeah, exactly. I'm going to talk about this duality.
Can you get something like Lebanon-Quicken 24?
What?
Lebanon-Quicken.
Yeah, sure. Okay. But still with a certain funny superpotential, not exactly the superpotential found by Kalimov-Witten.
What would be the M5
brain setup? M5 setup, I guess, would be, let's see, would be a torus with two puncture. Yeah, you have two gauge group. Yeah, you have two gauge group. Yeah, you can get this type of theory with a slightly different superpotential. Okay, now, so I think I have explained the construction. I can construct many new theory. I just I choose some bundles and then I choose all kinds of punctures. And then I get some N+1 theory in the infrared. Okay, now let me talk about the cyber duality. How are we gonna see cyber duality in this picture? So again, at the N+2 case, now cyber-duality is interpreted as the different opacity composition of the same Riemann surface, which is here. And now there were some new features. There were some very funny new features. So cyber-duality means different past decomposition. Of over sigma, the UV curve. Now, there's a new feature that is we have now many different kinds of paint. So each pen is actually specified by a pair of integers such that they satisfy the Calabi-Yau condition. So if we have a UV curve with some punctures, and we have a choice of two line bundles, then we can calculate the Chen class, which is simply the degree of the two-line bundle, the degree of one of the bundle plus the number of puncture of this type. Then we get two integer, a, b. And then the further constraint of the Pansy composition is that summation of ai equal to a, summation of bi equal to b. So in this N+1 case, we have to, well, in N+2 case, we have this, we don't have this choice. We just say the many pairs, and then we put the punctures in different pairs, and we get the different derived frames. But here, we have to specify, first we have to specify the choice of pairs first, and then we can arrange the punctures. That will need a lot more duality frames. In fact, there were infinite number of duality frames of this theory.
So what is this AI and BI in the case of?
Yeah, I'm gonna tell you for this example. This example. Yeah, this example. So let me explain this example. So for this example, we have a two punctures of one type, two punctures of another type, and the nine boundary is O minus 1 plus O minus 1. So the Chen class will be 1, 1. That's AB. Now we can find a decomposition. We know the two pairs here. And we know that we have to specify the choice of AIBI. So the simplest case will be I choose 1, 0 of one type and 0, 1 of a different type. So we choose two different kinds of bundle with a different with a different chain classes. Now then we can put the puncture around to get the various duality frames. So let me give you one example, which give you the cyber duality, the familiar C to one over C duality. So that corresponding the following arrangement of punctures. So I have a 1 comma 0 pens, and we have a 0 comma 1 pens. For the original n cross 1 series, the puncture is arranged in the following way. So because of the color of each three pens of the punctures are the same, so this means that locally this is n equals 2 matter. This is also an n equals 2 matter. But because of the different orientations, the gauge group is n equals 1. Now because of gauge interaction, the scaling dimension of this matter will be changed in the infrared. Now this is the duality frame of this quiver. Now we can move around the punctures.
But you can orient it the same way, and then it will be an equal two, right? If you if they oriented similar.
Yeah, but because of this constraint, mm-hmm. I cannot do that. I cannot put this also as 1, 0. I have to choose 0, 1 to satisfy this condition. Now we can move the puncture around. So for example, we can put the we can exchange these two simple punctures which corresponds to exchange this NS fiber and NS5 fiber, and at the same time we change the tens, then we get the following funny decomposition. So we get the, no, we exchange the punctures. No. Now you can see there's some funny thing. The puncture and the pens has different color. So that means actually from the brain picture you can see that actually some actual matter coupled to this flavor symmetry. So also because we exchange the position of these two simple punctures, the complex structure of the Riemann surface is inverse, and we actually have the following coupling, quality coupling. And this matter content and the potential is exactly the same as you would get from the field theory cyber duality.
But this constant C is dimensionful? Or
dimensionless.
Dimensionless.
Yeah.
So I see.
Yeah. And then you can play all kinds of game. You can just switch the puncture around and you get many new duality frames. Gauge singlet, yeah. but there's cubic superpotential.
Is there infinite in any dual wave frame? So is there anything non-trivial in addition to what we know, like the two to one of the six?
Well, there are many new duality frames.
Yeah, but are there like trivial that you have something that's massive and it doesn't matter?
No, 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 it's not trivial.
Can you write one example that's not trivial?
Well, yeah, I can write down, but I think currently, so for example, I can put these two punctures together. So but this is Seiberg type duality frame. So the sketch group is no longer SUN.
Another gradient duality
frame. Yeah, yeah, this is a non-Lagrangian. But actually, the duality frame is not finite. There are infinite number of duality frame because of this choice of the pens. So we can choose the following choice of pens and get the infinite number of duality frame.
In n equals to 2 case, when you draw such diagram, the left-hand side still has a Lagrangian interpretation, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Does it have the Lagrangian?
This, I'm not sure. I don't know, actually. Yeah. But this theory is rather trivial. Yeah, there's a Mohr space.
And that theory is just Dn with some matter, right?
Not really. I actually don't know. I mean, but this is the representation of the theory in this construction, you might be able to find a Lagrangian. I'm not sure.
Is there a classification of type of cylinder that you can join or any between two punctures?
Yeah, well, the rule is very simple. If the puncture had the same color, then it's n equals 2. If they have different color, then n equals 1.
But with regular and the one cross with the circle, can join with cross-circle
circle or? No. They have to be the, I think they have to be the different type. Yeah, much like n equals 2. Okay, so now here the infinite number of duality frame. It's labeled by integer. So each theory is strongly coupled n equals 1 theory. So locally, now it's no longer n equals 2. We know that it's explicitly broken to n equals 1. Now, and also we're going to see the RG flow because the bundle of different parts is different. And in the infrared, the curvature will be smoothed out, and then we get a single description with the fixed turn class and the punctures. So this is some RG flow. So this is very different from n equals 2. In n equals 2, all the bundle structure at all the pieces are the same. There's no, exchange of coverage or into it, yes.
Are these three punctures here free theories?
No, no, it's free. It's not a free theory. The Coulomb branch, yeah, locally. Yeah. But I think for n equals 1, if you're interested in the IR physics, it's quite the infrared theory is quite different from the UV theory. You cannot just count the module of each individual part and then sum them up. That's no longer true. So a lot of the things change in the infrared. For example, the scaling dimension of the quarks will be just changed. All right. I think I finished the cyber duality. Now let me talk about the infrared, the modular space of vacuum and the various phases.
given punches, you can compute central charges.
Effective
number of
vectors.
In this case, you say you cannot do it.
I haven't studied, but I feel it's still possible to calculate the central charge. But now you have to use a maximization sense to fix the R charge. Yeah. Because the R charge is changed by the gauge coupling, with gauge dynamics. So the infrared physics or the module space of vacuum is manifest in this description. And I think the idea is pretty well known, initiated by Witten. So basically, in the UV or at the origin of the module space, we have some theory with the different boundary condition of the punctures. Now in the infrared, this becomes a single amplifier wrapped on a different Riemann surface. Let me call it C. And C has to be embedded holomorphically inside our local Carbial threefold. And this, the infrared physics could be seen once we fix this single amplifier. Actually, it's not a single amplifier. We have a family of single amplifier parameterized by the module fields and the various UV parameters. So once we know the shape and the genus of this Riemann surface, we can get the different physics. So often, if we don't deform it, or at the origin of the module space, we often find the SAFT, but not necessarily SAFT, depending on the boundary condition of the punctures. And if the C has genus G, then we have a GU1 masses photon in the infrared. So we have the B mu mu fields of the six dimensional two gamma zero theory. For each cycle, we get the one masses photon. And also, the coupling of the photons are the complex structure of the Riemann surface. So if C has genus zero, that means we don't have any no photon net. So this might be in Higgs phase. So if we can only find finite number of pairs, so that means genus equal to zero, that might mean we have a confining vector. And then we can calculate the superpotential by requiring that the critical point of the superpotential give you the holomorphic curve of this vector. Also, if we cannot find a holomorphic embedding, then might mean SUSE is broken. So there were various different kinds of situations and also the many combinations between them. So from this picture, you can see the crucial thing is to really determine this C. How are you going to determine this C? Now here comes the crucial use of this spectral curve and the generalized Hitchin equation. So our proposal is that this infrared curve is realized as the spectral curve of our generalized Hitchin equation. So the claim is that infrared curve, which is so crucial for determining all the physics and the infrared physics, is determined by this infrared curve, which is given by the spectral curve of generalized Hitchin equation. So to illustrate the use of the spectral curve, I just focus on rank two case, rank one case, say SU2. Now, the formula is the following. We have two scalar fields, and then we can write down two spectral curves for the two scalars.
But when you're saying infrared curve, it is two conformal series, right? So nothing is running.
Well, yeah, in the just spectral structure.
Yeah. I see.
Yeah. I'm looking at the deep infrared.
Yeah.
So
this is the same as in UV as well, right? When it's conformal point, right?
Yeah. When it's conformal point. So to calculate this, it's very simple. We get the V squared equal to FZ. F is a section of L1 square bundle, and also this W. This gives another equation. Now, now these two equations kind of redundant because of the commuting condition between phi1 and phi2.
Excuse me. Sorry. Even more at more basic level, can we see that the dimension of the physical modular space is equal to the modular space of the dimension of the modular space of your generalization equations?
The base of this vibration, not the whole, the full space. It's like really like an Ankles 2. It's the base of the Hitchin modular space, which is identified the modular space of four dimensional theory.
So for example, what type of combination of phi1 and phi2 would correspond to the wave for mesonic fields, let's say in the previous example that we discussed?
Trace phi1.
Trace phi1.
Yeah, you just write down the holomorphic section consistent with the punctures. Then you have a coefficient. That coefficient will be your modular fields of your four-dimensional theory. Yeah, give you some example. Yeah, let me finish. Because of this the commuting condition actually gave a constraint of the eigenvalues of phi1 and phi2. Or in other words, if the one of the matrix is regular semi-simple, then the other matrices can be in terms of the polynomial of the phi1. So translate that this commuting condition into the condition on f and g is the following. So f times g has to be a holomorphic function square, holomorphic section square. So this is the most crucial condition, which will lead all kinds of interesting dynamics. Okay, let me show you some examples of how to calculate the spectral. It's extremely easy. At least for rank two case. For rank high rank case, it's more complicated. So let me give you the most simple case, which is SU2. So this type 2A. Construction, you have two NS5 brain, and another one of the NS5 brains is rotated. So in our picture, it's actually realized by two irregular singularity. of a different type. So roughly speaking, phi 2 has to be of the following form, also phi 1. Also have the similar singular points, singular behavior around the puncture. Now we can write down the spectral curve of the individual Higgs field. And they have the following form. Now, because of this condition, the product of them has to be a holomorphic function square. So we can fix U1 equal to U2 equal to 0. And then we got the following curve. So one of the curve will be redundant. So we find two curves, and the genus is zero, so which means that there's no massless photon left. So as it's well known, we have two confining vacuum for this pure SO2 case. Now this condition is natural because now this U1 somehow describing the local motion of D4 brain around this NS5 brain, and this U2 describing the motion of a D4 band on this end. But because of this bounding condition, the D4 band has n on both S5 and S5 prime brains, that condition forces you to fix U1 and U2 to zero. So you don't have any modular fields left. Okay, that we can see finite vacuum and the confining. Well, you can calculate the superpotential. I cannot say anything about the field dynamics, field theory dynamics, but this is just the result. Yeah, there might be some the field theory mechanism is not clear here. Okay, that's one kind of phase. So we can see a different phase. Let's look at the SU2 with one flavor. Again, this system is described in our description by the following boundary condition of Higgs field. So notice that the power of this puncture, the order of power is different than this one, which means actually encode the information that it's one flavor here. Now still let's write down the spectral curve for. This is SU2 with the one flavor.
You mean two flavors. Unless you count them like.
Yeah, yeah, it depends on your counting, whether it's in terms of Q, Q tilde, or just Q, Q tilde. Yeah. It's a hyper mode. Yeah. Okay, that's the spectral curve of two individual Higgs fields. Now we have to impose this condition. And then you can easily see that we cannot find any solution. So that means at least so it seems that the SUSE is broken here. And it's indeed in the field theory, SUSE is broken.
So it's not broken,
Oh yeah, you, I can give you, when I tell mass, I can actually write down a curve. And I can see that Mordred fields is inverse proportional to one of the mass.
Yes.
Yeah, you can see the running away behavior actually. So, okay, you can see this holomorphic condition. So somehow the holomorphic constraint of the field theory translates to this geometric condition.
So this doesn't remember that it started
it's purely n equals one. Yeah, the mass, the actual mass is taken to infinity.
What Ken's saying is that the irrelevant operators are actually dangerously irrelevant.
Yeah.
So if you generate any kind of irrelevant operator, you should study the irrelevant. You should do that.
Yeah. Okay, we see Susi breaking phase. So in fact, there's a little bit of cavity here. Actually, there was another scalar. Remember, the five scalar describing the transverse deformation. We only consider four scalar. There's another scalar, but because of this boundary condition, we cannot turn on the other scalar. So this, at least, from this four and five construction. All deformation is impossible. So there's no Susi vacuum. Okay, finally, let me just give you a, I guess my time is up. So I will give you a final example which shows how we can state the deformed Mordred space. So, the model is SU2 with the two flavor, and we put two flavors on two different sides, and remember that there must be a cortical superpotential here. So the dynamics is a little bit different from the pure SU2 with the two flavor. So in our description, it's again describing by two irregular punctures with a different boundary behavior. So this phi 1. This phi 2. So we can write down the spectral curve of 2 fuse, and then we impose this condition, and we find the following result. So this is a quantum modified Mordred space. So you can apply this method to any rank one example. You can recover the full Mordred space, not just the single Coulomb branch or Higgs branch. Although when there's a Higgs branch, I cannot give you the exact Kähler potential, but for the Coulomb phase, abelian Coulomb phase, I can always give you the exact gauge couplings.
What is the Coulomb phase?
What?
It's not Coulomb.
Yeah, this is not Coulomb phase. You can see it actually. You see the curve. This is a sphere.
How is the function? There is a quadratic term in the Mesos reflected, so this is not quite the same as the Fachian equation, or what?
Yeah. Well. You
like a sub branch of usual
modular
space?
Yeah, it's not the usual modular space, which is why there's a cortical superpotential here. So you add the cortical superpotential here, and then you analyze the modular space.
Right.
Then you have this this slightly different modular space structure. Okay, I think I'm done. Thank you. I think for the case without any puncture is already discussed in one of the paper by bar beam and vector bubbles, I guess. Yeah. But with the puncture, I think there's not more to do. For example, when we have the generic puncture, what is the local behavior in the gravity solution? That is not known.
Is there a conical structure that it has, even if you don't build with the base, probably you can use the volume minimization to use the in maximization?
Yeah, that should be possible, yeah.
There was some discussion for geometry in the particular part.
The
solutions were found by
Gauss. Yeah, that also always closed the surface.
Yes.
There's no puncture.
Yeah.
The new feature is actually puncture. Without puncture, the story is known for a long time.
Yeah.
Almost known, yeah.
One question, you understand this NF equals 2 NC example before, and you discussed this exactly marginal parameter C.
Yeah.
But from filter, you know that there are in fact N to the 4 exactly marginal parameters, out of which you only discussed one.
I think the reason is that.
Okay, you see the others, or. And there is a duality group that acts on all of them, and so on and so forth.
Yeah. Here, I only, because of the choice of the flavor symmetry, I can only say this in cognitive manifest.
Is it possible to see the other ones? Or?
Right now, I cannot see the others from a geometric aspect. Geometrically, I only see that one.
In the same example, if you turn off C, if you set C to 0, what happens to the Riemann surface? Does it?
It goes to some singular limit.
Does it decouple? I mean, do you decouple?
It's kind of a singular limit, because when you turn, just somehow you turn off the gauge coupling.
Not a gauge,
that's
a potential.
Is perfectly fine in this.
Yeah. With C equal to zero, it's pretty fine. But in this description, somehow
C doesn't map really to the modulus of the four function sphere.
Yeah.
I mean, does it go to 2-3 punctured spheres without coupling? That would be weird.
Yeah, that limit is singular. As I said, it's very different from angles two. You can take this complete decoupling limit. Now you have the angles two vector multiply matter. You can look at them individually and then glue them together. But here, things are quite different. When you complete turn off your gauge coupling, the matter system is quite different. And you cannot just simply glue the pieces together to get your final angles boundary.
So is there a concrete map between C to the modular parameter of four function sphere, or it's some qualitative?
That's my conjecture. The C should be given by the. Or maybe there's some complicated
math. So then, alternative question: what would be the limit on C that the four function sphere will decompose into 2-3 functions?
C is not a well-defined parameter. I don't understand exactly. I mean, C depends on the Keller potential normalization, which he doesn't know. I mean, there is no physical meaning to C before you normalize the Keller potential or something.
I see.
I don't know if we send C to 1 over C, but that
C to
1 over C, but that's ignoring, you know, the normalization.
We don't have
real normalization of the kinetic term, so we just conjecture it's order 1, and then something like C going to 1 over C happens, but we don't exactly know the map.
I see.
Nevertheless, if there is a map between exactly marginal deformations and the parameter of the Riemann surface, you could always ask what happens in the limit when the Riemann surface split up. What does that mean for the gauge theory? What
here
sort of deformation?
What? Here the gauge theory is perfectly fine in this limit.
Which
limit? C going to 0.
No, I'm not talking about C. I'm talking about the sending of the modular parameter of the Riemann surface so that it splits up. What does that mean?
Somehow you send also the gauge coupling to 0.
That's kind of a singular limit. Yeah, that's what I understand.
But is that an exactly marginal direction?
Yeah, it's exactly marginal. Thank you.